I sure hope you feel refreshed after that. Anybody else have a bit of a hectic morning with the hour time change? Just kind of throw you out of whack. Oh, you're all good. Okay, great. That's awesome. Well, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Good subject. Holy Spirit. And let me just review a little bit. We've talked previously about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And just a reminder, the Holy Spirit is not some mystical force, but he's actually the third person of the Trinity who works in you and can fill you, enabling you to live a godly life with power. And we need the Holy Spirit. And when you think of that in particular, to fill you and enable you to live a godly life with power. You know, if we're all honest, living a godly life with power is hard. It's not easy. And so we need the Holy Spirit because he's the one that enables that. And then last time we talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we were especially talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of trying harder to be a good Christian. So we simply need to pursue the Spirit's leadership in our lives, and then he will produce that good fruit in us. So, you know, we think about these things, love, joy, peace, patience. You know, we want to work at being more patient, work at, you know, being more kind. And yeah, there's an element of that, but it's really the fruit of the Spirit. And so we need to allow more of the Spirit to be at work in us, and then he produces those things. And then I mentioned last week that if what comes out when you're under pressure, you know, when the pressure's on, if it's not one of these things, then you need more of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will produce these kind of good fruits in us. All right? Now this morning we're going to start talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. This is part one. I think we'll be in this for 3 weeks. The power of the Holy Spirit. And let's just say this. There's always power associated with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, when the Spirit's mentioned, there's almost always power, okay? Even in the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 14, it says, the Spirit of God came on Samson, and he killed a lion barehanded, okay? It was the Spirit of God. In 1 Kings 18, the Spirit of God came on Elijah, and he outran a chariot for about 16 miles. Power, okay? But then in Acts chapter 4, more a little closer to our modern times, the Holy Spirit came on those people and they became really bold in sharing their faith. I mean, they were all kind of huddled up to themselves and then boom, Holy Spirit comes on them and they're bold. In Acts chapter 6, the Holy Spirit was there with Stephen and he performed signs and wonders. His power. And in Acts chapter 14, it says that God confirmed the message of Paul and Barnabas with signs and wonders. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I think of the power of the Holy Spirit, and I think most are like this, we typically think of the gifts of the Spirit. There's power in the gifts of the Spirit. And this is just kind of for your textbook notes, where to find the gifts. You'll find them in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Those are the primary places that the Bible talks about gifts of the Spirit. And so I encourage you to look those up and see what they say. But today we're focusing on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, specifically verses 4 through 11. And so if you'll find that in your Bible app, whatever, and then would you please stand and I'll read. You can follow along. We stand because we honor God's word. It says, in starting at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. All right, you may be seated. Now, I didn't read verse 1, but I'll draw you back there just for a moment. In verse 1, it says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I think some versions might say uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And the sad truth is, a lot of Christians are ignorant and uninformed exactly in this arena. But God wants us to know about spiritual gifts, and he wants us to understand about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to talk about it today. In verse 4, it talks about different kinds of gifts. And indeed, there are a diversity of gifts. But there is only one giver who works through those diverse gifts. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Basically, it's a spiritual endowment or a miraculous ability that the Holy Spirit gives to people. Pretty simple, right? Paul also calls these manifestations of the Spirit. And a manifestation is simply an exhibition or an expression or a shining forth. So it's kind of like the Holy Spirit goes, ta-da, a manifestation. Okay? Now, let me be clear. The Holy Spirit is always present in and among Christians. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is with you. He lives in you. Okay? However, at some times, the Spirit's presence is more apparent than at other times. Okay? There are times when he may choose to manifest himself with a display of power, which then makes him more apparent. So he's with you all the time, but at times he can do the kind of ta-da, and you are more aware of his presence. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are. It's kind of the ta-da when the Holy Spirit says, look what I can do. Okay? And one of the ways the Holy Spirit displays his power is through these spiritual gifts. Now, a spiritual gift, simply put, is a supernatural ability given by God. It's not that complicated. It's not a personal talent that a person develops over time, but it is supernatural. Verse 7 reminds us that the gift is not for the person only who has the gift, but it's for the whole church. These gifts are for the common good. Okay, that's an important reminder for us. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to promote himself or any person, but the Holy Spirit wants to glorify and represent Jesus. And so the gifts are there to build us up and to shine a light on Jesus. In fact, there are several scripture references that talk about the purpose of the gifts. If you want Bible verses, they'll be in my notes posted online later this afternoon. But basically, there's just these few purposes for the gifts: to benefit others, to build up the church, to confirm God's message, and to win the lost. That's what the gifts are for. It's not so you can be a show off and say, look what I can do when I pray for somebody. That's not what it's about. It's about benefiting other people and building up the church. And sometimes God will just kind of endorse if somebody's is out there preaching the gospel in a place where people are really resistant, God might display a gift of power to say, that is right, that is my word, and so here's a demonstration to prove this is real. And that happened in Paul and Barnabas' case. And people can get saved, and come to the Lord because they see these demonstrations of power and they realize God is for real. And it can draw people to the Lord. Now, there are, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, I think there are three main types of gifts. Okay? I call them gifts of comprehension, gifts of capability, and gifts of communication. Now, there's a variety of gifts, but they tend to fall into these three categories. And this morning, we're going to focus on the gifts of comprehension. All right? You ready? So I'm kind of done with my overview. Now we're getting into the meat of it here. Let's talk first of all about the word of wisdom. That's one of the gifts that Paul lists here. A word of wisdom is a supernatural directing of the Holy Spirit to guide in wise judgment or action for a specific purpose of God. It guides us. The Jewish New Testament commentary says this is supernatural wisdom about how to solve a practical or spiritual problem. Okay? It's not natural wisdom, but it's given by the Spirit, and it's all about carrying out God's purposes. Now, believers with this gift can often see through the confusion of a situation and can give direction that would help people obtain a God-glorifying goal. Okay? It's like when people are in a situation, they don't know what to do. This gift can come on a person and they just have the answer. They know what to do. It's the word of wisdom. The church needs this spiritual gift to guide us through uncertain and difficult times. We need wisdom. Now, I kind of started on this already, but have you ever been in a situation where you really didn't know what to do? Okay? And it seemed like every option was a bad option, and people would get hurt or angry. Have you ever been in that situation where it looks like, okay, this is certain death, and this is torture. I don't know what to do, okay? But you prayed about it, and all of a sudden, there's a fresh idea for dealing with the situation, and it actually works. Have you ever experienced that? That's probably a word of wisdom. When you just don't know what to do, and then just the Holy Spirit says, this is the way. And it all just starts to fall into place. That's how wisdom works. We see some examples in the Bible. Clear back in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon received the wisdom of God. And he became widely known for his wisdom. Things he understood and knew because God gave it to him. In Matthew chapter 1, Joseph received instruction about Mary. Remember the Christmas story about Mary in a dream. And then he also received wisdom about going to Egypt and later returning because the king at the time had heard about a Savior being born and he wanted to kill all those babies. And so God gave Joseph wisdom to get out of here for a season and then come back. Also, along that same line in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men who were already wise in their own rights received special wisdom to be guided away from Herod so that he would not know exactly where Jesus was. In Acts chapter 6, wisdom was given for the government of the church. If you remember, the original apostles were kind of getting overwhelmed with all the work and they didn't know for sure what to do. But the Holy Spirit kind of spoke into them and basically said the leaders were to focus on prayer and the word, and then others should take care of the more practical matters. It was a word of wisdom. In Acts chapter 6 also, Stephen argued persuasively against members of the synagogue, and it says because of his wisdom and the Spirit by whom he spoke. It was the word of wisdom. God was supernaturally empowering him to do that. And so we see this gift in operation through speaking that is prompted by the Spirit. It can come in dreams and visions. I mean, have you ever been struggling with a situation and then in the night something just kind of clicks for you and makes sense? I believe that can be a form of the word of wisdom. And it can also just simply be revelation to the mind where You're just kind of pondering on something, and then, boom, there's a thought in the mind. Just, I think we should do this, and that'll work. Word of wisdom. And I say natural wisdom is in shortage these days. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's in shortage these days, so we especially need this gift, the word of wisdom. Okay? Then we come to the word of knowledge. It's different than wisdom. This is a supernatural ability to know any fact concerning a person, thing, or circumstance. It's the unique ability to declare knowledge that could only be revealed supernaturally. It's knowing something that you really shouldn't know or couldn't know any other way. But the Holy Spirit just gives you that insight, that knowledge. This is what's going on. Jack Hayford says, it's an utterance from the Holy Spirit revealing knowledge about people, circumstances, or biblical truth. And let me be clear. This knowledge that we're talking about will never contradict the Word of God. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the author of both this Word of knowledge and the Word of God. He's the author of both, so it's not going to contradict. It's not necessarily spectacular either. Okay? God is not always in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but many times in that still small voice, according to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, one scholar, as I was studying for this, says that the person with this gift is usually well-versed in the scriptures. Okay? It's not necessarily a requirement, but usually that's the way it works. And the gift of knowledge allows a believer to relate the scriptures to all aspects of life in this world. It's just kind of knowing. Okay, I believe that this word of knowledge can also prove God's presence by allowing the person with the gift to know something about a person or situation that cannot otherwise be known. Did you follow me on all that? Word of knowledge. Some of you have actually seen this gift in operation when a person praying with somebody brings up something that only is known to that person. Okay? Then the person being prayed for might be astonished and wonder, how did you know about that? Okay? Some of you have seen that in operation, I believe. It's a proof or a demonstration of God's power. It's a word of knowledge. That person praying, they're not a spy. They haven't been stalking you to know all your secrets. God just dropped something on them to say, they need to hear this. And then it'll get their attention. Have any of you ever experienced that? Where somebody speaks to you and it's like, how did you know that? Well, and typically the person says, I don't know, it just came to my mind as I was praying for you. Word of knowledge. Here's some examples. In 1 Samuel 9, Samuel knew that Saul was coming and that he was going to become king, and he also knew about some animals that were lost. Okay, if you remember the story, Saul was out kind of looking for his lost sheep, and Samuel had a word from the Lord, and he knew Saul would be showing up, and he knew where the sheep would be. Word of knowledge. Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha revealed the enemy's military plans to his king. Okay, again, he wasn't a spy out there gathering secret information. It was just a word of knowledge. This is what they're going to do because God knows. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus knew the teachers were thinking that he was blaspheming God. He could read their minds almost. In John chapter 1, Jesus knew that Nathanael had been under the fig tree. Remember that? He says, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael's like, what? And it actually drew him to God because Jesus knew something that he shouldn't have been able to know. In John chapter 4, Jesus knew the secrets of the woman at the well in Samaria. He knew all the details. Here's another one that I think is pretty impressive. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias was directed to a very specific location to go meet Saul, who would then become Paul, that we are aware of in the New Testament. Ananias got very specific instructions. Go on Straight Street to this certain house, and Saul's going to be there. And by the way, he's blind, and you need to pray for him so he'll get healed, and then he's going to be a great messenger for me. What? Ananias got that download from God. It's the word of knowledge. Okay? Now, this comes through, typically through revelation of the mind, where you might be praying and just the Lord just gives you this thought. Okay? Sometimes, as we see in the scriptural examples, there's dreams and visions. Joseph, you know, it was in a dream that God spoke to him. Word of knowledge. Things like that. I've actually worked in this gift a time or two. There was a time I remember that one of the ladies in our church, this was years ago, and they're not even here anymore. They moved, but there was something going on with her blood work, and it was a big concern, and they needed to go to the doctor and get another test to see where the numbers were. I had no knowledge of what the numbers are supposed to be, okay? If you know anything about blood work, you know, some of them are 0 point something or other, and then others are 200 or 300 something or other. And as I was praying for her, 6.8 came to my mind. And I was even afraid to say anything. But I said, does 6.8 mean anything to you? Well, that's actually the number, that's about the number that we're supposed to see on this blood test. And then they got the blood test, and that was the number that they got. Okay? And honestly, I felt weird about it because I thought, I'm just pulling a number out of my hat here. But it just came to me as I was praying. And then God confirmed it with the follow-up test. That's a word of knowledge. And then we come to discerning of spirits. Okay, a definition here is a supernatural ability to see into the spirit world. This is the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine, between what is of the Holy Spirit and what isn't. The Jewish New Testament commentary says, this is the ability to tell whether a particular phenomenon is from the Spirit of God, from a person's own spirit, or from a demonic spirit. This gift distinguishes all those things. One might call it the supernatural ability to avoid being deceived. Actually, Jesus said in the last days, one of his greatest warnings about the last days is, watch out that you don't be deceived. So this gift is really important as we are nearing the return of Christ. We need this discernment, this distinguishing between spirits. And here's the truth. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us that Satan appears as an angel of light. Okay? Satan doesn't show up in a red suit and a long tail and a pitchfork. That's not how he works, because you would know he's the devil and you shouldn't listen to him. But he shows up as an angel of light and he wants to deceive you. And so there's going to be things that sound kind of right, but is it really right? This gift can tell the difference. The devil also deceives with a false and tempting message. There can be lying spirits in the mouths even of prophets. You see that in the Bible. Satan can speak right after God speaks. There's an example of that in Matthew. Sometimes people who seem to say the right things are really speaking words of the devil. And so it's important to test the word of anyone who claims to speak from God and discern whether this is really from God or not. Now, the word of God, the Bible, is our greatest source for that. Okay? And the more you have the Bible in you, the safer you are from deception. But we also need this gift. Because there are going to be times when it's, boy, that sounds right, but that's not really from the Lord. There are times like that. We must be careful now that we do not confuse suspicion with discernment. Okay? There's a big difference. Suspicion is simply from the mind, not from the Spirit of God. Discerning of spirits is not the gift of discerning the faults in other people. Got that? This gift discerns spirits, not people. It's not a natural ability to discriminate, size up, or psychoanalyze. And, oh, get this. It is not a critical spirit. Okay? I have known people that just had a gift of criticism, and they thought they had the gift of discerning of spirits. No, you're just a critic. You're suspicious of everything. Okay? Actually, that's a hindrance to natural discernment. Discernment just can recognize the difference between Holy Spirit and not Holy Spirit. Okay? Some examples. Genesis chapter 18. The angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham, and he recognized that it was the Lord. Okay? It probably looked just like a man, but Abraham knew it was the Lord. Genesis 32, Jacob saw a group of angels. So he's seeing into the spirit realm. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He was seeing into the supernatural realm. In Acts chapter 13, Paul discerned the spirit of the sorcerer Elimas. Remember, he was fumbling around saying, these men are prophets of God, whatever. And Paul said, rebuked him because it was really the devil talking through him. Paul discerned that. And then in Revelation, the most classic, John had a vision as he was on the island of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation because God opened his eyes to see into the spirit realm, and he wrote a whole book about it. Gift of discernment. It recognizes good and evil tendencies in people. It senses the presence of demonic power, and it keeps the church free from deceivers. We need this gift. We need it. So this morning we've talked about gifts of comprehension, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. We'll continue on from here, but these three gifts, comprehension, I think they are commonly exercised through the called ministry. You find in Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers frequently are the ones who operate in these gifts, but it's not exclusive, okay? The gifts are available for all believers. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can give you one of these gifts, okay? If the ministry of any believer warrants it, you could be enabled with this gift. In fact, I believe any believer can operate in any spiritual gift as the Spirit enables. Okay? Now, in my experience, typically, each believer has one primary gift that the Holy Spirit works in them most often. Okay? Generally. You know, you might think of this person and you associate that gift with that person. That's their gift. Okay? Generally, that's the way it works, but I believe any Christian can operate in any of the gifts as the Spirit enables. It's not just a one-shot, exclusive sort of thing. It's the prerogative of the Holy Spirit to give as he wills because all of the gifts are resident in him. So he can do what he wants. Church, we need wisdom. We need knowledge. And we need discernment. And we need those in the natural, but boy, we need them in the spirit. We do. Because our world is messed up and it's getting worse. We need these things. And let me close with this real simple thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Real simple. We started in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed about gifts. And so I'm giving some instruction to help us understand and be aware of the spiritual gifts. And then oftentimes when we get into these kind of subjects, you know, you're talking about things that if you've never experienced it before can seem a little strange. Like that word of knowledge. Somebody has been reading your mail, it seems like. It can freak you out a little bit. Okay? I don't want you to have to freak out. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. And God is good. And all the time. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So if this is newer for you and you're not sure what to think, well, just focus on that verse right there. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's God's will for you. He wants you to know about these things, and he wants you to go after them. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, but it's a little bit like Christmas. You can let him know the things you're interested in. You know, at Christmas, don't you kind of give some hints out or let people know the sort of things that you might be happy to receive? I think we can do that with the Holy Spirit as well. Oh, I'd love to see this gift. Now, the Holy Spirit will do what he wills. But we can ask and we can eagerly desire and pursue those gifts. We need these things, church. And I've been praying that this year our church would experience some demonstrations of power, that we would see the work of the Holy Spirit that's undeniable, absolutely certain, that's God working. I want to see that. Now, we're going to be talking about healings and miracles and these other gifts, and I'm wanting all of this stuff. And so I would love it if you would join with me in praying for this, that the spiritual gifts would be operating in Boone Upland Bible Church, and we would see the power of God at work. Will you agree with me on that? Will you go after this with me? All right. All right, do I have a piano player and a singer? There they are. We're going to sing again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I just encourage you all to open your heart to the Lord as well. If any of you need special prayer, come down here to the front. I and maybe a few others will be available, and we'll pray with you. And who knows, maybe God will give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, something like that, today as we pray. But let's sing and welcome the Holy Spirit.